You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modgepodge.
Hodgepodge?
Hodgepodge.
Modgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York. You are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com. Look, if you haven't subscribed, go do that. I'm going to start with that. Review us, subscribe. We're here early in the morning on a snow day in the green room. I'm Andrew Wiebe. I almost called you David Goss. You're Ben Bear. This is Bobby Warshaw. We're rotating the squad a little bit, Ben. It's an international break after all.
Yeah, we went through the first 3 weeks of the season, and now it's time to see what other kind of players we have.
Yeah.
You know, people like me.
Yeah, we're pretty sure we know what we have with you, but we don't know over, I don't know, it's not going to be 90 minutes, but hopefully like 60 to 65 minutes.
Also, it's like all the snow from yesterday is already gone because it's like 40 degrees outside and sunny, so there's literally no snow at all.
Shout out to everyone who lives in a warm climate. It has been winter for 6 months at this point. We're ready for it to be over. You guys, lucky enough, are going to Dallas later today, or should I say Frisco, for GA Cup. We're going to talk about that. We've also got the anonymous MLS player survey coming up. ESPNFC does it every year, and it's juicy every year, and it's a little bit maddening every year, and it is exactly what we'd expect it to be this year as well. Paul Tenorio is going to join us to talk Shaft Brewer. Who is Shaft Brewer?
Why does he have such a great name?
Yes, you'll have to stick around to find out. It is clearly the best name in MLS. He's also going to talk homegrown rights and the Impact's big moves this week. They signed another center back, which we teased on the last show, Rudy Camacho. We've also got a spy in Belgium. I just want to let you know. We have people in Belgium that report back to us, and they are very official and they're very knowledgeable. So we will get the scouting report on Camacho as well as Quaze. Johan Quaze in the mailbag from a listener in Belgium. And then Ariel Castillo, her maiden voyage in the mailbag is today. So she will join us for the third segment.
Well, it makes sense that she's coming to the mailbag today.
Yes.
So I can, you know, show her the ropes.
The ropes, yeah. Guide her through.
Yeah.
Show her how it's done.
Uh-huh.
Are the takes going to be hot? Are they going to be?
She better. I mean, she's not really known for it. She's more of a social.
Yeah.
You know, having
she's
everyone.
She's more of an entertainer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's what
I
was looking for.
I think so. We're very happy to have her. Quick breaking news here. Juventus has been announced as the opponents for the 2018 MLS All-Star Game presented by Target. The Serie A Giants are coming to Atlanta on August 1st. A big match, the second time in MLS history a Serie A team has played the All-Stars. Think back, that Roma game in Kansas City. It was not that entertaining. But the parties were awesome. I remember that quite clearly, or maybe a little foggily. We're going to get to this anonymous players poll. I mean, who's to blame for the U.S. World Cup failure? If you were commissioner for a day, what would you change? Do you favor promotion and relegation? Should the playoff system be revised? Which coach would you least like to play for? There's a lot to dig into here, but before we do that, GA Cup. You guys going to be down there? It's going to be, as always, an awesome event. We've got all the coverage at MLSsoccer.com. 6 streams a day. Dave Goss, Bobby Warshaw, Carter Augustine from Kansas City, and you, Ben Bear, will be on those streams. We've got all the recaps on MLSsoccer.com. You can learn about these young players, these future pros, in some cases, pros right now.
A lot of cases, pros right now.
Tell me, I mean, for people that hear me say GA Cup and don't immediately connect the dots, Ben.
So just as a primer, it's an under-17 tournament. 19, I think it's this year, 19 MLS teams will be there, along with 8 international teams, including Real Madrid and Monaco,
Pachuca, River Plate.
A lot of huge names. You know, I think it's pretty widely respected as one of the top youth tournaments in the world because you have those that international flavor. So there's 2 divisions for the U17s. There's the Champions Division, which is the top division. Those are the top qualifiers from qualifying for the MLS teams and the best international clubs. And then you have the Premier Division, which is the other 3 out of the 4 in every group is an MLS team, and then you have an international team. Last year, NYCFC won that division.
The Premier Division,
which means
they've moved up to the Champion Division.
They moved up because they had a good qualifying run this year, but yeah, they're in the Champions Division this year.
And by the way, Joe Scaly, we just got the news on that a couple days ago. 15-year-old, like just turned 15, the right back signed with NYCFC as a homegrown player. That is a trend, man. And he's a guy that you've watched this tournament.
Yeah, he was on the team last year along with a lot of other players you've heard of already. Gio Reyna, Justin Hack, who had a great preseason with NYC. The whole Hack-Cavani thing. Hack was on the GA Cup team last year. There's a few other
Justin
guys.
Justin Hack, also a really good name.
Justin Hack is a great name, for, yeah. And he's a demon too. So that's
Bobby Warshaw is an underrated name as well.
Thanks, guys.
I just want to say that.
I appreciate
that's a great name. When you went to youth tournaments, people looked at that roster and they were like, "Who is this Bobby?"
They absolutely did.
Who's this Bobby Warshaw?
Yeah, I got recruited on my name alone, pretty much.
Did you play a GA Cup?
What didn't exist? Academies didn't exist when I was there. Came pretty
Bobby
much
like just
the
met,
next
well, 2007 was the first year of GA Cup,
yep.
So
and that's when I started college.
Yeah, so little
just
late.
Missed on hyping Bobby Warshaw up on this podcast back in the day. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. I like how excited Ben gets for Jacob. You can just like hear the excitement
I'm
in his voice
right now.
You're going to be on the call. Are you excited, or are you just kind of trying to feed off Ben?
I am excited. Right now, I'm mostly overwhelmed trying to learn 100 new 16-year-olds' names and going back through their tape and their rosters. But I'm soaking up Ben's enthusiasm right now.
What are you looking for in this tournament? Because you've written for MLSsoccer.com before about how you spot a pro. When you watch these games, when you watch the way teams play, when you watch individuals on the field, what are you looking for?
I'm excited for this because something I went through, and I don't know how I can say this without sounding weird or douchey, but I was a really good 16-year-old soccer player. I mean, you would watch something like Dallas Cup or GA Cup, and you would be like, wow, he's the best player in that field. He's somebody that can really be special. And why did that not translate to me being 27, 28? And I'm curious on that. What matters when you're 16 to make you a national team player at 27? What can we do in both identifying talent and grooming that talent? So it's a little bit like you read with Billy Beane. You know, Billy Beane was a good prospect at 17, 18. And his life mission was to figure out kind of what went wrong and identifying his own ability. So that's what I'm curious about. A little bit of...
Well, my question is, when you were that top 16-year-old, why were you that top 16? Were you the top 16-year-old because you were, you know... Faster, physically more gifted. Was your touch
better?
There was
never a point in my life, guys, when I was physically more gifted.
Yeah. So why do you think that you were called into those national team camps at 16, 17, 18 years old?
I really didn't have I'm not gonna say I was a victim of anything, but we just didn't have the pipeline. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I was gonna go to college. I was gonna stay at college for 4 years and get an education. When I came out, I went to a team that just didn't need me to play for 2 years. So I just had my development stunted without that. I mean, now I probably would have signed a USL contract at 18 and played pro for 3 or 4 years. So now it's different. I'm just interested to learn about how it's all changed.
Are there physical traits? Are there tactical, technical traits? Are there things that you can spot at this age and say that translates?
The two things that I'll watch for the most are basic ability to control a soccer ball. I know it sounds weird, guys, but sometimes we look at a skillful player or a flair player. And when the ball comes into his feet, does he just look comfortable trapping and passing a soccer ball? And sometimes we overrate that. Mm-hmm. And second is, how much does he care about winning? Especially at 15 and 16, there's kids who throw temper tantrums and fight and look totally inappropriate in the field, and I want those kids. I want those kids who will punch somebody in the face to win.
If you're listening to this and you are a 16-year-old kid,
Do not do that.
Don't punch anybody in the face to win. You can definitely care, and you know what? I'll leave it up to you and your parents and your coach and whoever else regarding temper tantrums and everything else. So take Bobby's words here and, you know, put them through your own filters. I'm just going to say that. But it's going to be a great tournament. We're talking about, who else is on this that are pro? I mean, there's a bunch
that are
going to
be there. We have Efrain Alvarez, who's signed by LA Galaxy.
One of the best young prospects. He was
the guy that I noticed last year as special. As going back to Bobby's first point, when the ball came to him, everything stopped. Everything slowed down for him, and he could just pick his head up, look across the field, and pick out a player. He had two or three balls that were incredible over the top, and he was only 14 last year. He was one of the youngest players in the tournament, bar none.
Same thing with Scaly, by the way.
Scaly, Gio Reyna was also one of the youngest players in the tournament last year, and he won the golden ball for that, the Premier Division. Efrain Alvarez was in the Champions Division. I think he only played like 200 minutes, and he had 3 goals and 2 assists.
That's decent.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. You have the two kids from San Jose who are going to be there, Fuentes and Ekanarigi.
I think that was close. Cross that one off on ECR Bingo.
Atlanta United, who had a pretty good qualifying campaign there in the Champions Division. George Bello, the left back, is going to be there. And then you got Busio from SKC.
Yeah, Gianluca Busio is a guy who Sporting KC brought in from North Carolina, basically. A little bit of a recruiting deal. He had some struggles in preseason with Kansas City, but he's a teenager playing against men, and this is a good opportunity for him to play in an attacking role.
He's young, too. He's young for this tournament, too.
What when you look at like – so I remember last year, didn't Dallas play Madrid? Did they beat Madrid?
Beat him 1-0.
Yeah, they beat Madrid. So you have Monaco, Pachuca, River Plate. Who's the team that you would say is the favorite in that Champions Division? River, does the MLS team have an opportunity to win that?
I mean, I think I made it clear that, you know, I think this NYC team is really good, and we've already seen one player sign from that
team. You're a biased New Yorker.
Yeah, I'm a biased New Yorker.
If we're being honest here, you're biased.
But, I mean, the Red Bulls came in third in the Champions Division last year behind Ben Mines, of course.
Yeah.
He won the Golden Boot in the Champions Division last year, led them all the way to the semifinals, and they came in third with an incredible third-place game. But I think they have a shot, but, you know, usually you're thinking it's going to be River Plate's, like, they were incredible last year. Real Madrid actually only went 1-1-1 in the group stage, and like they finished seventh, I believe, in the actual tournament. And then you have Independiente del Valle, which you might not think is a top team, but I think they're going to be really good at this tournament from Ecuador.
GA Cup starts Friday, right?
Friday all day. Friday 10 a.m. Eastern. I think Bobby's going to be on the call for the first game. I have the Red Bulls playing Tigres later that day, and then
wow.
I have NYC.
That's why he's so excited.
And then the funny thing is that my first two games are Red Bulls, and then I have NYC Atlético Paranaense, who I think from Brazil, who they won the tournament 2 years ago, so that should be a really good game.
Yeah, good stuff. Full schedule at MLSsoccer.com. GA Cup starts on Friday. All the best prospects in MLS, a bunch of the best prospects from around the world. Tune in. Dave Gass, Bobby Warshaw, Carter Augustine, and Ben Baer doing their thing. Of course, all the coverage, MLSsoccer.com. All right. Let's get to this ESPN FC anonymous players poll. Paul Tenorio coming up after the break, and Ariel Castillo after that, so stick around here. This every season gets me going because you've got 104 current players, which is about 20% of the league, answering questions on the condition of that we're not going to tell anybody, that nobody's going to find out that it was them. So they can be honest, they can be forthcoming, they can say things they might not say publicly, aka would never say publicly. I kind of think we just roll through this. I mean, I think that the first one's juicy and obvious. I was talking to somebody on the subway this morning, and a buddy of mine that just happens to be at the same stop, and we're like, God, I can't believe we're not talking about U.S. national team or World Cup. And this Paraguay friendly, I can't believe it doesn't have the sort of, you know, gravitas and importance that it should in a year like this. Who is to blame for the U.S.'s failure to qualify for the World Cup? Players? They said 9%. U.S. soccer? 9%. Coaches? 7%. All the above? 75%.
Good answer. It's always, as I've said on the show, it's never just one thing, and it wasn't one thing with this, and there we go. I mean, yeah, the 75% is right for me.
And sometimes the voting is not the most interesting part. It's what they said. So they have the direct quotes, and one of them that I thought really stood out, you know, I'm a big believer in the people who are on the field. Sure, coaching plays a role, but whether a player misses a shot or scores, it's on the player, not anyone else. There were some other quotes here that saying, you know, once again, it's the players. They got to get this done 10 out of 10 times. They should beat Trinidad and Tobago. And others are saying the players forgot what it's like to wear the U.S. shirt. Some of this, Bobby, I definitely agree with. Some of it I feel like is players who maybe wish they had that chance or look at it from afar and say, oh, I would have got that done. And there might be a little bit of sour grapes. Is there an aspect of that? I'm throwing it to you because
there probably is an aspect of sour grapes. This is actually the question on here that I took the least stock in, that I found the least interesting.
Okay, would you find
just because we beat the topic to death and, you know, it's...
Okay, what'd you find the most interesting? Let's skip around here.
Well, you know what got me the most fired up? And Hercules Gomez addressed it on ESPN a little bit. The overrated, underrated. Specifically the overrated. Because there's 104 people taking this, and 20 chose not to answer that.
Yeah.
So there are 80 people answering this question, and what did Gio Dos Santos get?
11%.
11%.
He was the most overrated, according to the
so that's 11%.
Nine people selected him. We are labeling him the most overrated player. And I'm not even saying I disagree. It's probably the right answer. But I'm not – to use the word journalistically – to say someone is overrated because 9 people in a 500-person league said it is just so wrong, and I feel bad that we're even bringing it up.
Yeah, there's an extrapolation that you have to do there, and there is this data is not, let's say, flawless in any way. I mean, I think a lot of this, when you look at overrated, because Giovanni Dos Santos is 11%.
It's wrong. I'm going to say
the fact that 7 or 8 people said
as a player, it is wrong and infuriating that we put the word overrated next to a player because 9 people wrote it on a piece of paper. That's the player side of me. With overrated hurts. It hurts so badly. And for to see it next to your name, because it's what nine people wrote, makes me very angry.
So Michael Bradley got 10% here, which is, I guess, eight. Josie Altidore, 7. Jesse Zardes, 7. Paul Ariola, 6. Biddy Feilhaber, 4. Tim Howard, 4%. Breck Shea, 4%. Other, 26%. Real courageous answer there from all those guys. And no answer on the other side, which I can understand as well, given Bobby's point. I look at this list and I say money.
Yeah,
I say when players say overrated, they're not saying that's a bad player. They're saying that player gets paid too much money, and they're probably looking at their own checks, just like any of us would, by the way, and saying, I should be paid more, and that guy's overrated because no way is Michael Bradley worth $5.6 million. No way is Giovanni Dos Santos worth the same when production-wise from other guys around the league, they're matching it for much less. Is that fair to say? I think, you know, without talking to these guys, it feels like money and U.S. national team because, look, all those
money,
guys
it's
are
it's
national
money
teamers.
And promotion that, you know, people like us do, I think, is what they're really that they're getting
Who
at.
Would be the most overrated Extra Time radio personality?
It's definitely me.
I like that. I like you just jump on that grenade. Everybody really rates Ben Bear, but maybe they shouldn't. Is that what you're saying?
I'm self-deprecating Jew. Gotcha, so we're okay.
Okay, the flip side.
I would say Ben just became more deserved, like, to jump on the grenade
right,
like
he's
that.
He's underrated now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of his equilibrium.
But wait,
is,
but did this exist when you were in the league?
I don't even remember.
Would you have answered? Would you have done this survey when you were in the league?
That's a good question. Probably.
Also, to Bobby's point about this, like, whole what the sample really is. So there's 80 people who answered this. We have no idea what the makeup of those people
are.
Yeah,
this is the other thing I was going to get fired up about.
They could be Americans. They could be internationals. They could be – we have no idea who they are.
It's probably not homegrowns. I feel like that's probably –
probably not. Yeah,
that's, you need some vets in there.
Sampling is a very real and a really important thing in any kind of poll you do.
Yeah.
And if you don't sample properly
– he learned that at Stanford, folks. Let's talk underrated here. So Ignacio Piatti, 7%, which, again, we go back to this. I guess – let's see. No answer was 10%. So this is maybe like 90 people. So that's maybe like nine. Once again, about nine folks said that. Dax McCarty, Christian Roldan, Will Trapp, Ilya Sanchez, Joe Bendick, Darlington Nagby, Albert Rusnak, other 54%. So I guess it isn't. So like 7% is literally like three guys in this case.
I mean,
my
that,
math's not
that,
exactly.
That seems like
I'm
a good
doing,
list.
I'm doing this off the
but
top of my head.
Darlington Nagby, so someone pointed this out. I forgot who pointed this out on
He's
Twitter.
He's on both.
He's on both, which is amazing. Which is perfect
for
him.
The definition of Darlington Nagby's reputation in this league. It's just, some of this is mind-boggling, I got to tell you. Any other ones? What caught your eye here, Ben?
Well, the main thing that caught for me was I just liked the World Cup answer. I know Bobby didn't appreciate it. There was a lot of like the fun stuff with the turf question. Would you play for a team that played on turf? And a lot of guys said no. I'm not really buying that at all, because if let's say they get cut by their team, right, and a team that plays on turf is the one that calls, they're not going to take that call to keep on playing professional soccer. I don't buy that at all.
I mean, it would impact your decision to join that team. So, like, let's say the free agency situation, or like you're a foreign player coming over and you're in some ways having a more of an option as to who you choose on. Another guy said no, as long as they train mostly on grass, all good. I thought one of the most interesting one was, who's your toughest individual opponent in MLS? And obviously they went for the laughs with the player answer, which was Ismail Elfath, who's a referee.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe came from a Vancouver Whitecap and, you know, stuck that one in after the fact. Let's see.
Well, that one, the toughest opponent thing, I didn't like the way that question was worded, because I would like to hear, like, oh, like, it should be like Kendall Watson and like Roman Torres and like who's the guy that's like needling you the entire game. And, like,
I thought dirtiest player would be interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one to answer as well, although I think Felipe probably wins that in a runaway race.
Yeah, Felipe gets 80% in that one.
Yeah, because everybody I talk to seems to say that. Best pitch I would have liked. From, you know, we always do the awards where it's like, oh, you know, so-and-so, the groundskeepers say this is the best. But I want to know who the players think. The players are like, this is the surface I want to play on. If I had to replicate it for every other stadium, this would be
it. It's the Galaxy, right?
I mean, Galaxy's – I hated the Galaxy.
Oh, really?
Home Depot Center is the biggest field you'll ever be in your entire life. And the grass has this weird element of wet but also sticky. I thought of every field in the league, the Home
Depot
Center.
So what was the best?
The best surface?
I mean, there's been a few new stadiums since you were in the league, but
you almost notice the bad ones more than the good ones. So I don't remember that answer, but I was just getting fired up about the other one, and it was about the CBA negotiation. What is the thing that matters to you most? Right? It was like chartered flights, it was salary cap, it was player movement, and the salary cap increasing. This isn't weird to talk about because it was widely reported. Yes. The players want for free agency and player movement. But if you look at this, and again, sampling is wrong, but it just cracked me up to see that the players wanted increased salary cap, and it just shows we've talked. It's been written about and talked about the CBA negotiations and how the players were split and this and that. And as coming from a player who was part of those negotiations mm-hmm. at times, I thought that was interesting.
Bobby still has some gripes from that time.
The actual question was, if you were commissioner for a day, what one thing would you change?
Same question.
Yeah, basically. 36% increase in the salary cap, which makes sense. Everybody wants more money. Greater freedom of movement at 15, charter flights at 12. I'm not sure. Feel to me like the guy's saying charter flights or the guy's already making the money they want to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, charter flights seems like kind of a bougie answer.
A little bit of a bougie answer.
Yeah, that just seems, yeah. I would agree with that sentiment.
I want you to play a midweek game in Vancouver and take the regular commercial 9 a.m. flight back, train for a day, go out play again Saturday, and then have fans yell at you for not looking fit and excited to play. I want to put you on that four-day span.
That should be one of the... That should be an answer. That 100%. I 100% agree with that.
Well, we should just have
is it the number
flights.
One answer?
We should just have How, charter
why
flights.
Is num- why, is the num- why is it the number one answer?
Why isn't it?
Why? I mean, that wouldn't be my name.
That one. That.
Yeah. No, but isn't the number one? It wasn't.
Yeah, number one was money. Increased salary
okay,
cap.
Okay, sorry.
Salary cap. That's what they want is money. The impact of video assistant review, positive. 58% say they like it. 12% negative. 29% too early to tell, 1% no answer, which at that point, why just throw that 1% out?
I think this is one that would also be, I would like to see the sample on this one.
Why is that?
Is it the same sample on all of them?
I'm just saying, I would like to see who voted
like,
what.
This team, if it's a lot of Revs players, they probably don't
there's
like
that,
video
there's that aspect of like a team thinking that they've been like, that they were proportionally more negatively impacted by it. There's also, I think... Maybe the international players aren't as forward as maybe some of the Americans because Americans see it in other sports in this country and in Canadians. So I would like to see the breakdown for that one of who said yes and who said no.
We have the top coaches, the one you would like to play for and the one you would most least like to play for. Patrick Vieira, an easy winner with Greg Berhalter and Tata Martino and Bob Bradley and Jesse Marsh behind him. And the coach you'd most like to play for. We already had this conversation. I think a lot of us gravitated toward those same guys, which, you know, means nothing because we're not professional soccer players outside of Bobby, who's no longer a professional soccer player.
Why you got to say that, dude?
Bobby's making his comeback this week. Bobby's making a comeback this week.
It could still happen.
Oscar Pereira's going to see him out here just training us, and he's going to be like, I need to bring him back.
Which current coach would you least like to play for? Wilmer Cabrera. Number one at 11%. What do you
That's
think
That's unbelievable.
Is it?
What are these? I don't know the inside dynamics of where Wilmer's.
Well, here's the quote.
Yeah,
because
the quote is,
I don't think myself and a handful of players saw eye to eye with Cabrera and in return basically never saw the field. I think maybe he was a grudge holder.
Speaking of grudge holders. clearly players didn't watch enough Houston Dynamo games last year because after like every goal they all run to Cabrera
well, that maybe
to
speaks
with
to Wilmer.
He has his guys. It goes both
yeah,
ways.
Sure,
if
yeah,
you
he has
grudges
his guys,
against
yes.
some,
yeah.
you
well,
love
is that
others.
A grudge? Is that a grudge, Bobby, in your experience? Would you classify that as a grudge?
Grudge isn't the right word, but you just have your mind made up.
Yeah,
players
preference.
Always want to feel like they have a chance, and coaches sometimes make up their minds based off one play, one day, one thing.
Yeah, but that
said.
Doesn't seem like what compare. I mean, if you look at the rotation he had last year, it seems like almost everyone got a shot.
All his guys.
How many guys? I mean, they played a ton of players last year. And then, like, when Eric Alexander, like, I mean, they played a lot of dudes.
I know that Wilmer, as a person, is a certain kind of person, and I can understand just why some personalities wouldn't vibe with him. But again, isn't that another one where there's only like 8 people?
Yeah, there's a lot
like,
of people.
Well, that one's like 11 or 10 or 11 people.
Yeah, it's 10 or 11 guys.
Another one that I thought was interesting, what big-name designated player do you want in MLS? Didn't really go out on a limb here, guys. Leo Messi, number one. Like, Cristiano Ronaldo, number two. Zlatan at 18% for number three. Do you feel like that's actual, like, if you had to pick any player in the world, that's who they pick? Or are players just saying that because that's who they see in the news?
I think that's who they see in the news, and that's the one that's most realistic at this point. And we're getting more reports that that's could happen.
Yeah, so, Kevin Baxter went on Corner of the Galaxy and basically said there's a chance this could get announced in a couple of weeks here.
So, I mean, that's the one that's most realistic. So I think that was the first, like, if I was taking this, that, like, I wouldn't put Messi because I would be like, that's ridiculous. I would, like, what is the most realistic one? And Zlatan right now is the most realistic one.
Is it unrealistic for Messi? That's a very Bobby question, but isn't it like Beckham? Like, what more do you have to do? I'm fascinated by this.
I'm thinking 2018.
Beckham had been in a place where he was like bouncing around a little bit, and he was at Madrid, and he was had been a big part of the team, but maybe not for much longer. Yeah. And he was more about his brand. You know, like, brand Beckham was the thing for him, so he was looking for a good way to leverage that. Whereas I think Messi, he's in such a perfect situation at Barcelona, and he's just kind of like cementing year by year legend status that
to me
he has a chance to win. Goat. He has a chance to win the Champions League every single year and be the best player on
to
that
me,
team.
That was a dumb comment by me.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't see Messi ever coming to MLS. I think he's at Barcelona for his life, and if he's not, then he goes back to like Rosario to play for a year or two. I mean, obviously Ronaldo is the guy you look at. Oh, who would want to build their, you know, brand, marketing, all that kind of stuff. It's Ronaldo. So that would be, I mean, if you're going to go between the two of them.
And you have, like, Eden Hazard and Mesut Ozil, who got, I think, 2% of the vote here. I mean, these just
Hazard owns a team in the country, so.
What, he, Phoenix or?
The San Diego. San Diego. Next year in USL.
On that one. One of the ones I thought was the funniest. Do you understand MLS roster rules as well as GAM, General Allocation Money, TAM, Target Allocation Money, and other acronyms? New one here in the mix thanks to Daniel Johnson out in Chicago. YAM. Have you heard of YAM yet, Bobby? We haven't yet seen
any. I saw the tattoo, yes.
Yes.
Some Daniel Johnson.
Young American Money. I don't know if that's like a pop culture thing or if he just came up with that.
He's playing off TAM and GAM.
Also, the tattoo doesn't look to be of the highest quality. Can I just say that?
I mean, we don't know. We haven't 100% confirmed it's real.
That's
we're taking Drew Connor's word that it's real.
Could be.
Shout out.
Chicago
Wisconsin.
Fire. Yeah. You would. But do you understand roster rules and these acronyms? 50% said yes. 44% said no. And 6% said what you're probably saying at home, which is sort of.
I think if you polled players in the NFL and the NBA, you'd get a similar percentage.
Totally true.
Yeah, so I'm not. Sure.
The agents are the ones that maybe need to know this a little bit better. You're just about that money.
You think a guy really knows? Oh, I was signed to the bird exception. Sorry, right. Nobody knows. The players don't know that. They know how much money they're making.
Here's a great quote. I've heard people talking about it, and I've just been nodding my head, but I don't have a clue. And then there's, I consider myself very literate with the roster rules and restrictions, but still learn something new every week.
Same.
And then there's the bitterer one that's, MLS just made these rules to profit European or South American players coming over the college players and players who have been in the league for a while. Which, I mean, I think Bobby's voiced that opinion as well, and you know, I can understand all perspectives here, but I would really be entertained, and maybe we should do this. We're not really doing that many player interviews these days, just because
players are boring.
Yeah, there's an aspect of that. I kind of want to ask guys, you know, ask them to get a bunch of guys together and like quiz them.
Yeah, we should do that next year when we have when we get all the players. Or
maybe
an All-Star.
At the Combine. Yeah, at All-Star.
Because Combine, because the players don't know
really
anything.
And we definitely got to make up some stuff that aren't actual rules and see if they'll try to play along and be like, oh, yeah, that's the
–
that's when you swap two players.
Right, I mean, we're doing – like, this is something that we're doing.
Clearly. So if you have ideas for this quiz, you should just
we're
send
doing
it
this
401-206-0
late July right now.
MLSsoccer.com/mailbag, extra time at MLSsoccer.com. Anything else here? Anything that we missed? I thought worst haircut might be an entertaining one. Just to, like, have a little shadiness from guys. The banter would be good on that one. Mm-hmm. I also thought, like, little things that I think about that I know players think about as well, or at least experience. Best 1v1 defender. You know, best defensive header of the ball. Best attacking header of the ball. Best team on hardest team to prepare for on set pieces. Things like that where, you know, the Red Bulls can sit around here and be like, we've got 5,000 plays and we're the best at this, but maybe it, yeah. maybe, you know, so and so, like any team that has Kai Kamara on it, any team that has Kendall Waston on it.
Oh, that's a little, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't think that's what ESPN was going for in the poll.
Right, it's a little more in the weeds.
Can you imagine the headline? Players vote yeah. on toughest set piece team.
Exactly. So that's why you, that's why you see these questions, so they can have the right. headline of, I don't know what the headline is.
Yeah.
But it's I'm sure it's not.
Yeah, biggest trash talker, I wanted that one.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, Felipe.
Best young player, would have wanted to go with that, too.
Just our, I is to MLSsoccer.com at fault for not having Mark yes. Edelgado on 21-24? Even though it's not MLS. No, there was
I actually,
20
that would
voters.
Be entertaining for me. Like, soccer commentator you respect the least.
It's yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. Bob, I think Bobby might be up there.
No, I was going to say I think I might throw myself in the mix on that one. I think a lot of guys read MLSsoccer.com and just get upset.
Well, I'm not. I think they see you more as, like, the host guy. Like, you're like Ernie
host
Johnson.
Guy.
Like, you can't really – Are you really going to have, like, be really dislike Ernie Johnson? I don't really think so. I think, you know, you have people like Doyle and
no,
Bobby
Doyle's the
making
one
some. Yeah. Well, first of all, Doyle's number one, who's
yeah.
number one hated soccer commentator. I would put a lot of money yeah. on that. Bobby's over here
Bobby's
just making faces.
Yeah. Bobby's silent. All right. Let us know what you think of the ESPN FC anonymous survey here every year. Entertaining stuff. Go read it at ESPNFC.com and make sure you tune into the GA Cup. Very, very soon here. Let's get out of here. We're going to go to break. Paul Tenorio on the other side. I'm going to wish Bobby a good day. He's got to go to Dallas. So adios, Bobby. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Kyle Beckerman of Real Salt Lake, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio. They tell me I was born to lose, but I made a good, good thing out of bad, bad news.
All day, all night, all right, all right. All back on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental, as we do every single Thursday. MLSsoccer.com national rival Paul Tenorio is on the phone, and news is breaking. Kevin Baxter tweeting that Zlatan Ibrahimovic to the Galaxy is done. Grant Wall following up saying it's for 2 years, $1.5 million per year. That means it's a TAM deal, Paul, and I'm kind of blown away right now.
Yeah, I think everyone in the league is blown away. I started hearing whispers earlier this week that the Zlatan deal was done, and you know, I heard that $1.5 million number, but when you talk to people around the league, it was a lot of, I just can't believe that it's actually going to come down to that number, and you know, would he really come for that much? Turns out it was a done deal, and it is a TAM deal. So you've got to imagine that there are sponsorship dollars coming in where, I mean, marketing money does get factored into the cap if it's through the contract. But if he's able, I mean, I saw the other day when I was looking up stuff about him that he just switched from the iPhone to Samsung Galaxy. No surprise, that's probably linked to this move. There's money that Zlatan's going to make from moving to L.A., and for the Galaxy, they get a global superstar to help them compete in the L.A. market for a budget price.
And this is a move that I think we're all looking at with March 31st in mind. Of course, that is the first El Trafico, as I would like to call it, but I'm waiting to see what the fan bases and everybody else goes with. This is the sort of move that Chris Klein needed to make, the sort of move that maybe was in mind when Chris Klein got that new deal, kind of the inevitability here. As you followed this news, the rumors, it's been going on for years now. And from your understanding, how has all this developed? Why is now the time right for both the club and for Zlatan?
Well, I think this is a move that the Galaxy have been trying to make for multiple years. We thought it was getting close to being done last year. Manchester United brought him back. He scored goals in the Premier League, and then he had the injury. But, you know, this move matters for the Galaxy, and you nailed exactly the reason why. It's the business metrics as much as anything else. I mean, they've got a new team in their market that has a new stadium closer to downtown that's pulling fans away. They had the worst season that they've ever had last year. You know, they're losing season ticket holders. They're losing walk-up crowds. They needed to do something to bring the fans back in. And the one thing you know you're going to get from Zlatan Ibrahimovic is entertainment and people who are going to want to come watch and see what he does and to hear what he says. And I think, you know, Chris Klein understands that he needs to change the business metrics around the organization right now. And you know, this is a deal that accomplishes that goal in the short-term window. You bring in a guy like Zlatan, he's gonna bring in a lot of media to his press conferences. He's going to say outlandish things. He's going to score goals if he's healthy, and he's going to do so in an entertaining fashion. This is as much about the business side of soccer in that market as it is about on the field, because there are actually a lot of complications on the field when you look at this Galaxy team now. You're bringing Ibrahimovic in. You traded for Ola Kamara, who's a target striker. One of them is going to have to go to the bench. You've got Giovanni Dos Santos, Jonathan Dos Santos, Perry Kitchen, Sebastian Legette, Alessandrini. I mean, these pieces don't exactly fit well together as a soccer team. So, you know, it's about how can we make this team work, but then also how can we pull fans in and get them to care. And I think, you know, ultimately Ziggy's going to have a tougher job now, even though he's got one of the best players in the world coming and joining his roster.
All right, we'll get to the on-the-field stuff here, and I want to talk about that Ola Kamara decision that Ziggy Schmidt's going to have to make. But I just want to throw it out there for everybody who's listening. It is not yet official as of this Thursday. Now, I trust Kevin Baxter of the LA Times. I trust his reporting. I trust Grant Wall's reporting. This has felt like an inevitability, but not yet official, though it feels basically in that mold. You mentioned the on-the-field stuff. Let's go back to the TAM side. As far as roster rules, as far as the gymnastics that had to get done, why is it required, or why was it so important for them to get him on this TAM deal?
Well, they had to. They have three DPs that are not eligible to be bought down out of DP territory for TAM. So they only had a TAM slot available. When I was first hearing that he was coming on $1.5 million, I started to do kind of the dominoes in my head. If it was a one-year deal, maybe they're looking at selling Giovanni Dos Santos in the summer window after the World Cup. That would open a DP spot that would allow them to re-up or change the contract with Zlatan. The question is, would there be buyers out there for Giovanni Dos Santos? That's a big question mark with how he's performed in MLS. He would need to, A, make the World Cup squad and then perform well there. You know, would they have to package him with Jonathan Dos Santos and completely change the structure of the roster? Now that we know it's a two-year deal, I think it gives them a little bit more flexibility. Yes, maybe there's still a potential that they sell one or both of the Dos Santos brothers down the road and change Zlatan's deal to give him money on the back end. But at the very least now, they have the flexibility that they can have three DPs. They essentially have four DPs, just one of them has agreed to a TAM contract. So it's well done by the Galaxy to get him on a two-year contract. I just will be interested to see kind of how the dominoes start to fall on the budget side, especially whether or not the Dos Santos brothers hit the market after the World Cup. And then, you know, soccer-wise with Ola Kamara, you went and traded money for this guy. With you, when you look at these pieces, you can't even play Zlatan underneath Ola Kamara because that's where you have to play Giovanni Dos Santos. So there are some real complications that are going to happen now, and I'm very interested to see what Ziggy Schmidt comes up with.
What if, and this is a scenario that we've talked about on this show before, Paul, what if you push Giovanni Dos Santos to a wing and you let Zlatan play underneath Ola because he wants to drop back? And every time you watch him, yes, he's that point, but he also seems to want to fall back, get on the ball, and you almost have him, I mean, I don't know if false nine is the right word, but like an ad hoc creative presence as that second forward. You play Alessandrini on the right wing, Giovanni Dos Santos on the left wing, and then you've got two holding midfielders in behind that, let's be honest, have a lot of work to do. Could that work?
I mean, they'll certainly probably try it, but you're asking a lot of those defensive midfielders. You'll probably have to play, you know, the problem is you're going to have to find a way to make that back line better because you're going to be putting those fullbacks on an island a lot of the time, both on both wings, because Alessandrini and Giovanni Dos Santos are not known for their defensive abilities. So now you've got to have two fullbacks that can really hold their own in 1v1 and defensive midfielders that can cover a lot of ground and protect against overloads on the wings. So it's going to be asking a lot defensively of a team that's looked very shaky defensively. So that's the problem. And can they have the money? Do they have the money? Can they make a move that will solidify that back line a little bit more to give them the balance to allow them to have a team that is that attacking oriented with wingers that barely defend? It's a real dilemma.
There's a lot to think about here for Ziggy Schmidt. Personally, I'm ecstatic at this point. We've been waiting. You speak to a lot of people around the league, and this is one of those moves that has felt like an inevitability. What has been the perspective of those not in the Galaxy organization as they talk about, think about, anticipate Zlatan to MLS? How are they feeling on this Thursday, and inevitably whenever this gets announced, how are they feeling then?
Well, I think the attitude is, look, they understand the business side of it. Everyone is curious to see what Zlatan does in MLS. This is not even Zlatan of a year ago, right? He's coming off of an ACL injury. He's a year older. Can he still move and score goals? If he's in the box and around the goal, he's going to score goals. You know, will he have a Drogba-like impact? That's what people are wondering. But there are some questions around this move, especially on a two-year contract. With his age and with his injury history, it is a roll of the dice by the Galaxy. And, you know, I get why they're doing it, and I think most people around the league get it as well. Everyone's just curious to see what version of Zlatan they're going to get. And people, players are excited for a chance to play against a personality like that. We saw the impact Didier Drogba had in this league when he came in at an advanced age and still was able to score goals. Are they going to get first-year Drogba or second-year Drogba? And with a two-year contract, maybe they're going to get both. But I think it's more curiosity around the league more than anything else. Just what are we going to see out of this guy who has scored so prolifically across his career?
Stay tuned to MLSsoccer.com for all the news on this one. Of course, if it goes official, we'll have that. We'll have all the commentary. I'm mulling something right now myself, maybe a column coming on Friday. Let's talk impact. You mentioned Didier Drogba. They've moved on. It's a new era. Remy Garden here, and he's making a lot of moves. Rudy Camacho got announced today. You had a piece on MLSsoccer.com kind of walking us through what the vision is right now and what's happening. Alejandro Silva, another addition this week. What's going on with the impact?
Yeah, look, I think people just, you know, Montreal is north of the border. It's French-speaking. We kind of forget about them sometimes. They're almost on an island, but they've had one of the biggest rebuilds in the league this season. They've added 13 different players, and what I like about what Remy Gard has done in building this team is he started from the back line and moved his way forward. He's added another attacking piece in Silva that gives the team a little bit more balance, maybe gives Piatti a chance to be isolated in space more than he usually is, where that's how he changes games. But they really overhauled the back line, and they've added a lot of experience to this team now with Camacho coming in. They've gone and got signed guys coming out of France who have experience playing at the high levels. And, you know, we saw what they added in the defensive midfield last year with Piet. So I think this is going to be a more stable Montreal team than we've seen in the past. Now, anytime you add 13 players to a roster, look at the Galaxy, look at Orlando City this year. It takes time for them to understand the way they want to play, to understand each other. It's not going to be perfect through the first half of the season. But I think this team is actually setting up pretty nicely in the East. Because once you get past those top three or four teams in the East, it's a crapshoot between another four or five teams for the final two playoff spots. And no one's really talking about the impact right now. And I think they could sneak in there if these guys gel fast enough by the All-Star break. I think the Impact are going to be a team that's going to sneak up on the Chicago's and Orlando's, Philadelphia's that are in the mix there and make a little bit of noise in the East.
You mentioned Chicago. You mentioned Orlando. I argued this week on MLSsoccer.com that they were two of the three teams along with Portland Timbers that should be the most worried about their slow starts. And I know it's early and it's not time to panic, but inevitably when you have expectations that are so high and you don't deliver, that can snowball on you. And a tough start is not as easy to come back from as it used to be in Major League Soccer. Who do you think is the team that has the most to worry about right now?
Well, I would say the Fire, because at least with Orlando, you have the pieces there that haven't been on the field. They've been injured. And you're trying to get them integrated and back in. With Chicago, they have three or four holes they have yet to fill. And that's the concerning part is you still have to identify those players, sign them, bring them in, integrate them into the group, find the right formation, and do all of that in a very short window to be competitive in the East. So from my perspective, Chicago has a little bit more work to do. As far as under the gun, though, I think Jason Christ and that group, the expectation is for them to win right away. So they're going to put a healthy team on the field for the first time later this month, and the results need to happen right away. And if they don't, you could see that club become in flux again. You know, the only team in the East that hasn't made the playoffs dating back to 2015, and you know, I don't know how patient they're going to be with that group.
Can I ask you why Chicago still have holes? When I look around MLS and I see so many teams, and you know, even Montreal now late in the window after the season's already started, accumulating assets, filling holes, finding potential difference makers. What happened with the Fire this offseason?
You know, I've asked that question a few times in Chicago myself. I don't know. They've always been very meticulous and kind of set in their valuation of players, and they don't like to go above that valuation. And I think at this time, those valuations didn't line up with the market, and it put them in a bad spot. And now they're behind the eight ball. They're playing catch up. So those valuations are going to have to change. You have to be careful not to panic and make panic buys. I think those are always going to hurt you. But if the Fire are going to be competitive, they have to go do something, and they have the assets to do it. So I think Nelson Rodriguez understands he's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive than he was earlier in the window. Some things didn't work out. Some players they wanted to get, they just couldn't get over the finish line. But you know, they're going to have to make something happen before the May 1st window closes. And then in the summer, I would expect them to be active as well. But I just think it's the signings haven't lined up, and they've been stuck in their ways, but a little bit too stringent on what their valuations are. Sometimes you have to look at a hole and add in the replacement cost as well. And I think that's what the Fire, they find themselves now in a place where those valuations have to go up a little bit to get the players they want and they need.
We're talking to Paul Tenorio, MLSsoccer.com, national writer, as we do every Thursday, at Paul Tenorio on Twitter. Follow him, breaking news, analysis, everything you need. Also, it's MLSsoccer.com as well. You got a piece coming out this week, Paul, about young players, and we always talk to you and Sam and among ourselves about how everything is so interconnected in this league. And I see Joe Scaley signed with NYCFC. He's barely 15. Shaft Brewer and his MLS rights just got moved from FC Dallas over to LAFC. He had been at Red Bull Leipzig. He had been in Sacramento. He had been in Dallas. Walk us through what's coming from you on MLSsoccer.com this week and give me some perspective when it comes to these young homegrown players signing.
Well, I think what I wrote about is the need to get these young homegrown minutes. And there are certain clubs where guys aren't able to break through because, you know, maybe they're just not good enough. They can't beat out the guys at those clubs. So we have to find a way in this league to start to get them some minutes. And I write about the potential of homegrown loans, sending some of these young players to other teams where they could play, giving those teams incentives to actually play and develop those players, and why Team B would be willing to take on and develop another team's player, because in the short term it could help you. But I think when you look at homegrowns in general, you see now with TAM coming in, the valuation of American players that are off budget that provide you depth has gone up, because you don't want to be signing $300,000 veterans to the team if you can avoid it anymore. If you can sign a $100,000 homegrown that gives you 15, 20 minutes a game, that's a huge amount of replacement value, because to get somebody of that quality on the senior roster is going to cost you $300,000, and this kid's off budget. All of that's interconnected, and it's becoming a little bit more desperate for these teams. They don't want to lose these players to Europe. They understand how important it is to sign them, get them on the roster, have them on that supplemental roster, develop them, and allow them to have that depth and cap room to go sign TAM players. And that's why I think you're seeing this trend of teams going out and signing homegrowns at 15 years old, 16 years old. They want to get them locked up, start developing them in the USL, and have them in reserve on the roster, where now they have a much deeper 1 through 30 than they would if they went and signed a veteran guy who's been in the league 3 or 4 years for $200,000 or even $100,000 on a senior roster spot. So I think all of this is connected to kind of creating cap space because of TAM, wanting to have value and solid depth and quality with American players, no international slots, off budget, and homegrowns are the best way to do that. So you're going to continue to see the trend of teams looking to their academies and signing kids at 15, 16 to take those spots and hoping that they can provide the depth that we've often seen, you know, the 3 and 4 year veterans who are kind of fringe MLS guys hold on to roster spots. I don't think we're going to see that as much anymore.
You mentioned those interleague loans, and when that came out, I think a lot of us got excited about the potential for MLS minutes for players who were just behind a logjam. And man, I think if I'm remembering right, the trivia question here is who's the first? I think it was Tony Cascio. I might be wrong about that. Why hasn't this rule? I'm patting myself on the back. You can't see right now. Why hasn't this rule been taken advantage of more? And could it be in the future?
Well, it's two things. You know, first you have to find teams that are willing to kind of be the first, right? That's always difficult. That's the biggest part of it. The second is, where's the value coming from? You know, one team has to be willing to develop another team's player and say that it helps them in the short term enough to do it. The other team has to find a fit in the team that they trust to actually develop their player. That's why it's not happening right now. I think a lot of GMs are scared that they might make the wrong move. No GM wants to take on a player on loan without a buy-on. No one wants to sell a homegrown for fear that that player will develop elsewhere. So there are just so many moving pieces to this. I think it's going to take two teams to get together and do it before we see it become a trend. And, you know, you look at players like Pax Apomikol, Jordan Hamilton, even in Toronto, who's stuck there and not playing. You know, can we see them loaned out? A lot of GMs told me they believe before intra-league loans we're going to see a lot more homegrowns heading to Sweden, heading to Norway before anything else. But I think the league recognizes that they have to find a solution to this problem.
Before I get you out of here, Paul, I know you're in Vegas having fun, doing your thing. Juventus announced as the 2018 MLS All-Star Game opponent. Target is presenting this one August 1st in Atlanta. It's going to be a blast. Just to throw it out there for ETR listeners in Atlanta are planning on going to the game. We're trying to get a party together, maybe even a live podcast event, maybe with the Cooligans. We're doing our best right now, so keep that on your radar. Paul, what do you think of Juve, the second Serie A team, to take on the All-Stars?
I love it. I always love these All-Star game opponents. I think it's great. It makes people pay attention to the league in a way that no other opponent would. And, you know, I'm always down for All-Star game parties, so you can count me in. As long as you send me an invitation, I'll be there, man.
No invitations. Everybody is invited. That's Paul Tenorio, national writer for MLSsoccer.com, at Paul Tenorio on Twitter. Paul, we'll let you go. Get back to doing your thing, man.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks, Weeby.
Big thanks to Paul Tenorio for joining us here. Zlatan Ibrahimovic to the Galaxy. Official announcement has not come yet, but once again, I trust the guys reporting this. Stay tuned to MLSsoccer.com for all the news, and let us know what you think. 401-206-0MLS. That's the Hot Take Hotline. Call us or text us. MLSsoccer.com/mailbag. That's the mailbag on the site. And then, of course, via email. ExtraTime@MLSsoccer.com. We're going to go to break. On the other side, Ariel Castillo in the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Graham Zusi of Sporting Kansas City, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back now on Extra Time, a radio driven by Continental in the green room. A little bit of a, I don't know, a clash of personalities here. Our Monday fill-in on the, okay, sorry, Ben. Uh-huh. You're not a fill-in. Uh-huh. Our Monday super sub on the mailbag and our new Thursday go-to goal scorer off the bench, Ariel Castillo. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing to do this.
No, I think there's plenty of harmony on the pitch with Ben Bear. It'll be fine.
Gotcha. So you're saying you guys are like maybe like the Ola Kamara Zlatan combo that
Ooh.
We may see in LA?
I like that.
Who's playing the nine? Who's playing underneath like Zlatan? Who is Zlatan is what I'm asking you.
Ariel is clearly Zlatan.
I'm clearly Zlatan.
Yeah, that's not even a question.
It's not even a question.
Right.
Healthy Zlatan.
Yes.
So we talked to Paul Tenorio about the on-the-field aspect. Mm-hmm. Every Thursday, if you have questions for AL, by the way, get them into us. But now let's talk about the off-the-field aspect, because that's part of it was Zlatan. That's inevitably part of it. That's what I'm almost – okay, no, I'm not more excited for that, but I'm maybe more fascinated by that than I am anything else. Just the fact that it sounds like he'll come for not DP money to start, that's interesting to me. What do you imagine, Ariel, in your heart of hearts, when you think about Zlatan in LA, Zlatan in MLS, Zlatan being Zlatan – close to home.
Interesting is definitely one word. I think it's incredible. I think of all the cities. I mean, I'm just like, let's go, LA Galaxy. It's a super Galaxy move. But I'm so here for it, especially if he's around in time for El Tráfico, as we're calling it next week.
We're definitely calling it, right?
That's it. It's El Tráfico. So shout out to the person who came up with that, Ben Bear's friend.
Yeah, may or may not be Elliot or Charlie Fiction on Twitter. So.
Really?
Yes.
That's where it originated. We know
we
that
We believe
for sure.
That's where it originated, yes. Cannot confirm, but that's
gotcha.
What we believe.
Rumors have it.
Yeah, so Zlatan coming to the Galaxy and playing in the first El Tráfico against LAFC is just the most extra Galaxy thing ever, and I'm 100% here for it because it's going to make some people so happy and some people so upset. I can already see Galaxy Twitter popping off, and they've just woken up as we record this.
It's the perfect, like, oh, you guys are having a fun time. Is this new expansion team, beautiful stadium, two wins to start the season. Oh, cool. That's sweet. We got Zlatan.
Exactly.
We have the biggest star on this field.
Exactly. I'm just ready for the Galaxy to just Galaxy so hard and just dig in and just be that this season. And Zlatan in LA, I mean, the adventures write themselves, right? I hope he's super on his social media game because I want to follow every last thing that guy does.
Write me an adventure. It's like story time right now. Give me a
what are you doing?
What are the possibilities in your mind?
I want to see the Dos Santos brothers taking Zlatan out to see the sights. That's and then maybe Carlos Vela shows up secretly on the low, and I don't know what happens.
I want Zlatan. I want Zlatan at like Muscle Beach. They have
different places, but like, you know, that's like, good
and,
content.
And like he just walks out there and he's like, he just like picks up a 500-pound dumbbell and he's like, oh, this, no problem. Or it's just like he's like roller skating at Venice Beach, right? That's where they do that.
Yes.
Yeah, just like all it's
all the same
iconic LA stuff that you see when you see like the, you know, the very the palm trees and everybody's.
Or like, do you like Photoshop him in like with that like the donut, the Randy's Donuts thing?
Oh, yeah.
And you make him like bigger than the Randy, like the donut or something.
The thing is too, I just want to see him adjusting to sunshine and stuff like that, because considering he's Scandinavian, where he's been, it's just super rainy. So I want to see him dealing with
Manchester's just beautiful this time of year.
I've heard.
Yeah, so is New York apparently.
So I just want to see him dealing with like sunshine and high heat and stuff like that, just on an emotional level.
What before we get to the mail, which we have a lot of here. Mm-hmm. What, like, TV show / movie franchise? I'm thinking Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think he would be a perfect Curb Your Enthusiasm guest star.
Okay. Okay. Like, one shot in L.A. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to see him on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, since they already have a history with the LA Galaxy. Don't forget.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
Robbie Keane was on it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's perfect for Zlatan to show up at some charity luncheon where everyone argues.
Charity luncheons.
There's always drama at the luncheons.
Yeah, maybe someday I'll get to be invited to one of those. Also, some news here. We had a listener send this one in. Graham Zusi cut the man bun.
What is that? You know what I think it is?
Right as it became iconic.
The thing is that I know that he... Okay, so he definitely reads everyone's jokes. And I think he just read the jokes about looking like a barista and read the jokes about looking like a guy who studied abroad.
And made some of the same jokes.
You can go to Pablo Mar's Twitter feed at MLSs for all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think he... I think he probably just got sick of it. You know, when you need a change. I mean, specifically as a woman, we like to chop off our hair when we're sick of hearing about stuff. So I'm sure he can relate to that on a spiritual level.
Did you see the new haircut?
Yes. It's you know, it's
gonna, still trendy.
It's going to decrease the drag a little bit, maybe. So maybe he'll get
get the extra speed.
A little faster.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know how this stuff works. I don't know. It's science.
But you might as well do it at the beginning of this season.
I didn't make the joke. I held back. Alex Chang via the MLSsoccer.com mailbag. Ariel, it's going to be cool to interact with the fans internationally, engaging in soccer combos across the league with diverse opinions. He thanks you for your time on Twitter. Anyway, which of your swole, thick, and large sons on Red Bull New York is your favorite?
Oh, that's easy. Well, so right now it's Carlitos, but I don't know. Tim Parker, I think, is close to the top there, too.
I'm not sure I understand the thick with two C's. Is that
a thing.
Such a dad.
It's a.
I think I understand it. Like
thick with two C's, and I don't
like want you're thick in a good way.
Thick in a good way, like thickness with two C's. And this year's New York Red Bull squad have a number of solidly built players, and I think can relate to that.
Got it. Michael Carlitos probably has trouble like purchasing pants. This is a random story. I was one time on the plaza in Kansas City, and Roger Clemens walked across the crosswalk in front of us, and that was what I took away from it, was this man cannot buy pants from a normal store. Like, his legs are of a freakish size, and I assume Rivas is
so
in the same place.
Carlitos is just asking for the extra large shorts and then getting them tailored at the waist.
He's got a great tailor, I'm sure. Michael from Atlanta via the text line. The most intriguing part about the U.S.-Paraguay game outside the U.S. youth movement, Nagby against Almirón in the midfield. Atlanta on Atlanta battle. We tried to get excited for it. Matt Doyle poured cold water all over this friendly. How do you feel about it?
About the friendly? I would say that Nagby is not the most exciting part of it. For me, I think the most exciting part is seeing all these other kids that we haven't seen play at all. Super big on Shaq Moore, who is starting to bubble up on sort of Nats Abroad Twitter, but hasn't gotten enough shine at all. And then there's the kid who's playing second division in the Netherlands. Let's go. So, I mean, yeah, Nagmi Almiron is, it's a cute, but it's not what I'm looking at.
Ben, you didn't get a, I don't think you got a say in this.
Yeah, I'm happy to not have a say in it.
No, you're on the Doyle bandwagon?
Pretty much.
Pretty much?
Oh.
I mean, I watch. I'm going to watch the game, unlike Doyle, but I mean, I'll be watching.
100%.
I'll be posted up in Frisco.
Doyle's
going to
watch
it.
The game.
Yeah, I'll 100% watch, but, you know, Nagby is sort of the last phase, so I'm excited for the new phase.
Alistair Brewer via email, how hard would it be for the Sounders to sign Bobby Wood, assuming Hamburg gets relegated? Would he be a good fit for the summer transfer window? Doesn't have a lot of minutes, and he could jump right into MLS without needing a break as a result. Bobby Wood, he's in camp right now, has not been playing much with Hamburg. Sam Stachko followed up on his interview with us and says, summer window DP time.
That would be pretty good for, I think that would be fit really well in Seattle. I think he'd be great for them. I think it kind of makes sense if they got relegated. I don't know. He seems to me to be a guy who wants to make a name for himself in Europe, which he was very close to doing with Hamburg, but it hasn't really worked out there. So to see him maybe come to Seattle, that's closer to home for him, obviously.
Which is
as close as you can get, basically.
It didn't really work out for Hamburg, is kind of the story of Hamburg.
Yeah, so, like, you could see him definitely moving on in the summer. And
Is he a DP, though? That's what, when I look at, like, some of the recent struggles, and yeah, he has an okay track record, but he's not blowing the doors off. No.
I mean, look, not even Zlatan, ostensibly, in the situation that we are hypothetically discussing, would be a DP. So I think the DP thing is going to be used very
because you could get carefully. You could get him to 1.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably be a template. I would love to see him play here, but I'm with Ben in that I don't think he seems to be chomping at the bit to come back to the United States. But Seattle has been an honorable place for guys like that to go from Europe. So maybe
I think the speed aspect, he can stretch the field without Morris. They're really lacking that. And even when Jordan Morris comes back, I just think it's a place where they could have some. And he's a better finish than I think people give him credit for, and a pretty good combination hold-up player. See what happens with Bobby Wood. Let us know what you think. Would you like him in Seattle, Sounders fans? Maddie from Montreal via the text line. Dempsey's turned into a head case. He merits a longer suspension. Have not yet heard anything as of this Thursday morning from Disco. He did get two extra games for the elbow the other day. I mean, either way, he is going to be suspended because of the red card.
We haven't heard that they even appealed it yet.
Doubt that they would appeal it, which if you're at home listening, you're probably nodding your head and like firing off an angry tweet to me because I've gotten many, many of those.
I don't know. I have to disagree with the turning into a head case. I mean, Dempsey's always had this thing about him, this swagger. That's one thing that people like about him. And this is nothing new. I remember when he ripped up the ref's notebook. Like, it's not is Dempsey being Dempsey, so you know, it is what it is.
Ryan from Juarez, Mexico via email. What's up, Ryan? Thanks for listening, man. Although I appreciate the dap that Doyle's given the Dynamo, as a fan, I think we need to be way more concerned with results. Our ho-hum offseason did not add depth and left us lacking, particularly center forward, the one, quote, big offseason signing. Fuente Mayor at center back is not getting a chance to address the one glaring issue that we have, youth and speed at center back. He also says, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, so you knew he was getting on.
I saw Ben Bear laughing, so why don't you expound on that?
Well, because I picked them, because of everything you just outlined, I picked them to finish 10th in the West this
10th?
Season.
10th?
No
10th.
Way.
Did you get a lot? You got
no
a lot
way.
Of stick from Dynamo.
So after the 4-0 game against Atlanta, guess who was in my mentions, like, just hitting me up a bunch of Dynamo fans, like, you're an idiot, like, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 which
is fine.
To be fair,
they were probably right.
They're probably right. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing the issues that I was the reason that I picked them to finish 10th.
I don't think they're going to finish 10th at all. I mean, I think that's not giving Wilmer Cabrera enough credit at all. I think he's definitely a guy that could make some changes if things start going poorly. Youth and speed, yeah, I agree, those are issues, but they're good at home, so I don't know.
Oh, that's a good. I mean, look, in MLS, that's what it takes. They were good at home last year. They were garbage away, and they still made the playoffs, still made a run.
They already lost the home game, though, this year.
They did. They did already lose a home
game. They lost one home game all last year.
But again, you know, it's been 3 weeks of a super long season, so I don't think anyone needs to go nuclear about anything yet, for better or worse. So,
look,
although
well,
that's
nobody,
what we're here to do.
I'm not taking any victory laps or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, that I hear all this after they beat Atlanta 4-0. And then this is the first I'm hearing from anybody since the last two games.
All right. He also says, by the way, he loves the Liga MX MLS idea, but Liga MX, he says, would never agree to it, even if it means heck of money, which to me says that he's from Northern California. Because if he says hecka,
which, from Northern California to Juarez,
yeah.
Which part did they not agree to? Because they already agreed to a deal. So what are we disagreeing?
Yeah,
about?
We actually had something on this very podcast where Andrew from Brooklyn emailed in and said, I would love to see a Liga MX MLS combined league, or at least dream about it. It's just fun to think about.
Oh, yeah. No, so, that's not happening, but it would be fun.
God, raining on my parade. raining on Andrew from Brooklyn's parade. Carol DeMeister, the MLS Belgium guy, via email. So, first of all, he says, love the show. I actually started really following MLS because of your insights. That's awesome, Carol. We're so thankful. Okay, on to the important stuff. What you need to know about Johan Kwoze is that he was good three seasons back at a team that got relegated. At KV Mechelen, I'm once again just about cross off the ETR bingo board mispronunciation. He showed flings of talent but was controversial. Bangers one week, completely invisible the next. That's a mentality issue. Camacho, Rudy Camacho, the new center back for Montreal, I asked him for the scouting reports on these guys, by the way. Being a central defender, he's not been a talking point anywhere in the last season, and that is a good thing. He played almost every single game for Wazalan Beveren. Got that one right because he gave me the pronunciation, that they had their best year in recent history with a defense that laid it on against the best teams in the league. He's not exceptional at one specific thing as a defender, but he's not bad at anything. Look up his dribble in the match against Genk. That was phenomenal. So then he gave us the pronunciation on his club, which is, as I said, Wazeland Beveren. So, yeah. Carol hit us up. He works for Club Bruges. He says he, you know, because of, I think, Victor Vasquez, he went to a game in Toronto last year, got interested in MLS. He came to MLSsoccer.com. He saw Extra Time Radio. He gave it a try on his commute. And now he listens to every show. So huge shout out to Carol. If he ever comes over, we'll hook him up. And, you know, maybe we'll be going to a Club Bruges game sometime soon.
Awesome. I love the Belgian connections. Honestly, these signings for Montreal, I don't know too much individually about any of them. I'm really interested to see how Remy Gard is putting it all together. And I'm just happy for the Impact to make any moves right now. Honestly.
I'm with you on the putting together part because, like, Alejandro Silva, Rudy Camacho, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have more insight than you do listening. I really don't. But I think that the fact that Remy Gard kind of cleaned house and is now refilling is very interesting, especially in the Eastern Conference that's full of these sort of projects that are very well formed. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what he has in mind, how he's going to accomplish those things, whether these are the sort of profile signings we're looking at. I think it's interesting that they're from two different continents. Mm-hmm. So then you're kind of combining Montreal's
You're not Colorado and you're
right.
not Houston.
Right. Montreal is combining their previous ability to go to South America and get players, most recent Jason Vargas, but of course Ignacio Piatti, et cetera, et cetera. But they've also got that connection to Europe via Bologna, Safir Tider, you saw Mancosu, you saw, why can't I think of the incredible goal scorer?
Jamali.
No, Jamali, but the center forward. Why can't I think
DeVaio?
Of it? DeVaio. Marco DeVaio. Jeez, he is a legend. How did I forget him? I just
look up Marco DeVaio highlights for anybody who just started listening to the show the last couple years.
Yeah, go watch those.
He was class
crazy.
In MLS.
But it's going to be interesting to see. Remy Gard in Montreal. They're on the come up. Kevin from Milwaukee via the text line. I need someone to tell me why I shouldn't sell my Kyrie Shelton stock.
What?
Not in on Kyrie Shelton at Sporting Kansas City. The Johan Kwoze stock is on a very low right now. So if you would like to buy that, it's available and there's growth potential.
I think the Kyrie Shelton stock is pretty low, so I don't know why you would sell it. You want to get on the high.
Well, maybe
what would bring it back up?
Yeah, what's going
to
bring it back up?
He needs to start playing. I mean, he's played in a couple of games for SKC this year, but I mean, it seems like he'll probably play this weekend cuz Shallowy's with the Hungarian U21s. But you know, you got Shallowy, you got why can't I think of anybody right now?
Diego Rubio?
Well, he's not playing.
Yeah. Felipe, Johnny Russell,
Jurassic, yeah.
But none of those guys are center forwards. I mean, it goes back to the offseason.
Is Kyrie Shelton a center forward?
Good question. He was most effective.
Is Kyrie Shelton, he's a center, he could play center forward. Is he actually a person who would be good at center
forward? Here's the conundrum
with
Kyrie. He was at his best with New York when he was off the bench, and he could change games with his speed, and he wasn't the primary kind of facilitator. He wasn't the point of the spear. He was just someone who could get in the right spot and have a nice finish. I'm not sure that with more pressure on him, we're going to see more, but hey, may have a chance this weekend. We'll see what happens. Christian Saron finishes off here via the MLSsoccer.com mailbag. Should MLS be taking credit or touting their league for TFC's success in CCL? TFC is in the CCL because of the Canadian Championship, not because of MLS. Shouldn't the main credit go to the Canadian Championship?
Oh, man. All in on Canada, but Canadian.
That is a flaming hot take.
It's a flaming take. The team exists.
I mean, how many games did they play?
MLS.
They played four games in Canadian Championship. Four games. That's it.
I mean, Toronto, first of all, Toronto FC wouldn't exist without MLS. They wouldn't be getting these players like Javinko, like Josie, like Bradley, if MLS didn't exist. So that
they
just
played,
bring them here onto our side of the border and they would still kill it. So there's no, I mean, they're just.
Yeah. Well, they would have qualified anyways.
Yeah. So I am a big fan of the Canadian Championship, but that's a flaming take that seems not very Canadian, to be honest.
We end on that take. Big thanks to Ariel Castillo for joining us every single Thursday. Hit us up with questions for her. Mondays has been Bear, of course. So Mondays, we'll have questions for Ben. Six games this weekend. They start on Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, New England hosting NYCFC, and they end that night at 10 o'clock, Vancouver, LA Galaxy.
I'll be at Dallas and Portland with Gus and Bobby. I think we're sitting in the stand, so if you want to come and find us, we'll be somewhere.
Not in the boxes, huh? Not, you know,
wait,
boxes? The common folk.
The boxes?
I don't know. Luxury boxes, wherever you guys normally hang.
Because I sit in so many luxury boxes.
Did we plug?
Shout out to 202.
Wait, I have to give a shout out to our social media. Did we plug Generation Adidas already?
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Hard. You can stream them all on our YouTube. I just want to make sure that everyone
that
knows
that. And you can follow on Instagram and Snapchat as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, go set your MLS fantasy team. Before you forget, go set it.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's a very weird
six
week.
Six games, so you need to go
take a
close look.
A lot of guys are out with international duty. If you see a red or a blue dot next to the guy, do not pick him up.
Yep. Six games. MLS Live is free in the States. DAZN up in Canada. TSN's got a game this weekend. Unimas has Dallas and Portland at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. That's it. Thanks to Paul Tenorio. You guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.